Thank you very much, Pastor Tiani. We are so glad to be together again in another service. This will be the last gospel service for this year. And how much we want to say thanks to you who have supported us from the year's start until now in this setting, so that we were able to bring the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to different people at different times. We are glad that you invited us in your home tonight, and we pray that as we look on the Word of God together, as much as the time is cold, you will feel warm in your heart. I think there is a course that said, when it's winter, it is summer in my heart. I trust that that will be the situation for us tonight as we look on God's Word. What a wonderful testimonies those testimonies were. Speaking to the fact that Jesus is alive. And brothers, sisters, I just want to say to all of us here that regardless of how the enemy would like to paint a picture, dark and dim, the light of Jesus is still shining. And we are seen because we are children of light, and we are seeing Jesus high and lifted up, and his train fills the temple. So tonight we have tremendous hope, and as was ministered on Sunday gone, speaking about the greatness of God, I have seen where I embrace God in a stronger way because I am proud of him. As a result of that word, and it creates confidence in the God that we serve. And I trust that you have seen him in that light, and he is your Savior tonight. But I'm also mindful of those of us who might be listening tonight, and you have not actually seen the Lord in that dimension. And I believe that that is the reason why we are having this gospel service tonight, so that you too might behold him in the fullness of his glory. Bless the Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Tonight we'll be looking at the passage that was read from St. Luke chapter 8. And we will look at other scriptures too that supports this passage. But we are going to center our thoughts on verse 12 especially. But oh God, we are tonight to know that for the most of us here in this service, we can identify with verse 15. We can identify with verse 15 that says, but that on good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, kept it, and bring forth fruit with patience. There are four different ground here that the Lord made mention of. And I'm glad that the Lord chose to do this because he understands the heart. There is no one else who understands our heart or the heart of men like Jesus. And so when Jesus looked into the heart, Jesus saw what he saw. And he made it known unto us. And we'll be looking at another passage as he described to us the things of the heart. But right here, he looked on the heart and he understand what goes on there. And he explained a few things to his disciples that we have here tonight to look on ourselves. And the topic for what we're going to minister on tonight is the enemy, the devil, is seeking to rob you. The devil is seeking to rob you. And that you is plural. The devil is seeking to rob us. That is his mission. The devil is a robber. The devil is a thief. The devil is seeking to rob you. I heard Sister Mary's testimony tonight. And as distressing as that sounds, my sister,
yes,
we have a God that is in control. The devil is seeking to rob us. Let us not forget about that one. And he's working overtime to do it.
Yes.
But I'm glad that we can identify ourselves with verse 15, as I've said before. Most of us will. Because it speaks to the fact that we are still bearing fruit, even at this time. Because the word of God did fall on good ground when we received it. It fell on good ground. That's why we have a testimony up until tonight from We Believe.
Yes.
And our prayer that the Lord will continue to keep us in this position so that we will continue to bear fruit as we go along to bring honor and glory unto him. But let me look on verse 12 tonight, as we will share together. There are four different grounds in which the Lord made mention here. Four different people went to church. Four different groups of people. There are four distinct grounds that the Lord made mention here in this parable. And we will be concentrating on the first one, which is to be found in verse 12. And it says, those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So the reason why the devil is seeking to rob us is because the devil has a motive. And what is his motive? His motive is he's robbing us of the word of God because lest they should believe and be saved. In other words, the Lord is saying to us tonight that the enemy comes into the heart and he took out the word of God. He took out the word of God out of the heart. And the reason for him taking out the word is that if the word remains there, we are going to believe and we are going to be saved. And his ultimate aim is that we should not be saved. He has given away his hand. He declared his motive. He said the reason why he's taking out the word out of the heart, it's because we might believe and be saved. Now, he must have known the beauty of being saved. have experienced the joy that salvation brings at some point.
Yes.
He must have seen the glory that awaits the believer. He must be aware that their life does, as one of our sisters said tonight, life does not consist of the abundance of things that we possess. But there is something greater and more beautiful and more wonderful than this, of which the enemy is seeking to rob us of. And somebody might say, he took the word out of the heart. Out of the heart? Does the enemy have access to the heart? That's why I said before, I am glad that it is the Lord Jesus himself who said this. The enemy comes into the heart. There's a gospel crusade. Many people are invited to come to church. And they came and they heard the word. All of them hearing the same word. The same word. And according to what Jesus is saying to us here, of the four individuals, it is only one that walk away bearing fruit, to be found in verse 15. Three other persons walk away, believe, and ultimately falter along the way. But verse 12, as I said, we are going to look on it and to see exactly what is going on here. Here the Lord Jesus tells us that the sower went out to sow some seeds. And of course, this is explained here in the parable of the sower went out, he was sowing seed, but the seed represents the word of God. And he sowed the seed into their heart. Now the word of God, nothing is wrong with the word of God. I want all of us to know, whether it is ministered by the Apostolic Church in America, our church, or New Divine, or any other church for that matter, nothing is wrong with the seed. The seed is good. The word of God is good. The problem is the soil, as we have seen here. Not all soil are prepared. Not all soil are ready. Not all soil have the nutrients. So we find that nothing is wrong with the word. The problem is the soil. And I don't know who might be listening tonight. And even those who might listen to this word on the website. But I'm saying to you tonight that the Lord Jesus has identified that nothing is wrong with the word. My word is eternally settled in heaven. But the problem is the soil. The soil. And what is it that he said about this particular soil here in verse 12? We see, he puts it another way in verse 5, in St. Luke chapter 8, verse 5, when he said, a sower went out to sow seed, and as he sowed, some fell among the wayside. And it was trodden down, and the fowl of the air devoured it. The fowl of the air devoured it. That verse corresponds with verse 12. When he said, those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. In verse 5, he describes the robber as the fowl of the air. In verse 12, he clearly describes the robber as the devil that takes it out of the heart. So the heart represents the wayside, or the wayside represents the heart in this parable. And as we examine this closely, what is it that we are seeing? We are seeing where the Lord made mention of the wayside. The reason why the word or the seed was sitting there visible is because the surface, as a result of the traffic, he talked about the wayside, the traffic that keeps going up and down the wayside, over a period of time, it has created the hardness of the surface. The surface has become, of the wayside, has become hard. So that the seed that was sown, it was just sitting there on a hard surface. And as a result of it, the bird looking for a good morning meal, he was glad, that bird was glad when he looked down on that tough surface, because it was trodden by men, and the seed could not disguise. The seed could not get below the surface. It was just sitting there on that hard surface. There comes the bird looking for a morning meal, and was glad to scoop down on this seed and enjoyed a meal. This is what Jesus was saying here in verse 5. Whereas in verse 15, the word was sown, the seed was sown, and it found a ground that was soft. It found a surface that was soft, and immediately it went into that soft surface, and it was there to germinate. The bird did not see it, because it fell into that soft surface, and it was not visible again for intruders to molest it. And apart from that, it germinated, because the surface was already soft, and then it bear fruit like what we're having tonight. Two different surfaces, same word, two different surfaces Jesus made mention of. My brothers and my sisters, if the enemy can take the word out of your heart, or take the word out of the heart of men, then we should not be surprised that he is taking the Bibles out of the schools. We should not be surprised that he is taking the Bibles out of the libraries. We should not be surprised that he is taking the Bibles out of the hotels. First time most hotels that you go into, there's always a Bible in every room. No, it is very few hotels that you're going into where you might find a Bible inside your room. It is not surprising that he is taking the Bibles out of the homes. Yes, out of the homes. The enemy is seeking to take the Bibles out of. We also learned recently through the news media that China is seeking to rewrite the Bible. We focus in on worship. Worship must be redirected, not to God, but to something else. And they have given themselves 10 years for this project. The enemy is seeking to rob us. The enemy is a thief. The enemy is a robber. The enemy knows what it is that we are going to inherit as a result of believing the word of God. And therefore, he has set out himself in order to rob us of that which is important. Believers, tonight I want to encourage you to guard your heart. Guard your heart against the intruder, against the enemy who comes in different form. This enemy is so fierce, he can go anywhere he chooses. In Job 1, we are told that the sons of men were gathered together, and the enemy, the sons of God, we're gathered together, and the enemy presents himself in the midst. To the extent that God had to ask him, what are you doing here? What are you doing here among the sons of God? His reply was, man free, by going up and down throughout the earth. That was his reply. But he had his eye on somebody. He had his eye on somebody in that crowd. That's why he was there. He had his eye on somebody. And that's why I'm saying to the brethren tonight, guard your heart. Guard your heart from the enemy, because he's a robber. Nobody knew that he was watching God's servant Job all this time. He must have tried to destroy him how many times, and he could not. Because what? God had protected him. God had protected his servant. It wasn't until when God gave permission that he was able to touch God's servant. If you read 1 Kings chapter 22, you're going to also be surprised. God, the word tells us that God had a meeting, and he wanted to make a decision as to who would send the king, Ahab, to battle. Because Ahab, judgment has come for Ahab to receive. And when God was discussing the thing, the enemy said, I will go and put a lying spirit in the prophets. Right there, from in the company of God. Right there, in the company of God. Servant, the enemy shows up in order to create havoc. We are told also that right at the breakfast table with Jesus, having his last breakfast with his disciples, the enemy entered the heart of Judas right around that communion table. This is the fierceness of the dragon that we have, that we have in our midst. He comes to church He's not afraid to even ride with us in our car. He picks out the word of God out of the heart of men. He's a robber. He's a thief. He's presumptuous. He's a destroyer. And it's only God alone can spot him at each turn. So I'm saying to the church tonight, we have an enemy that is dangerous, an enemy that is a robber, an enemy is seeking to destroy us, an enemy is seeking to rob everything that we have. We need to guard our hearts from him. So what are we saying here? We're saying that the reason why the bird was able to pick out the heart, the word, from off the surface of the byway is because the surface was hard. And the word was just sitting there, and it was visible for the bird to seize and have a meal. Here Jesus told us in verse 12 that the enemy came and the enemy take the word from out of the heart of men. What did Jesus say again in regards to the heart of men? Let us see what type of traffic there are in the heart that cause it to be hard, so that the word is sitting there on a hard surface where the enemy was able to see it and snatched it away. Let us see what Jesus said in regards to the heart. Because as we said before, I am glad that the Lord Jesus is the one that brought this thing out, because he understands very well what is taking place in the heart. Mark chapter 7, and I read from verse 21 to 23. Mark chapter 7, reading from 21 to 23. Listen to what this says. For from within, Jesus speaking here, for from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts. And listen to the traffic. Listen to the traffic that hardens the heart of men. Why the word of God does not find the softening of the soil and disguise itself and germinate and bear fruit. Listen to the traffic that are there. The first one, he said, that comes out of the heart and the evil thought is the traffic of adultery. The traffic of adultery in the heart. Then he said, the traffic of fornication. Then he talk about the traffic of murder. All occupies the heart. Then in verse 22 he said, the traffic of thieves, the traffic of covetousness, the traffic of wickedness, the traffic of deceit, the traffic of lasciviousness, the traffic of an evil eye, the traffic of blasphemy, the traffic of pride, the traffic of foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. These traffic continue to parade in the heart. Cause the ground of the heart to become hard. word of God, when it is preached and hit the heart, which is the target of the word just sit there on this hard surface because it is hardened by all these traffic that Jesus just described. Just like when he said in verse 5, because some fell by the wayside. That is where men trod. That is where men walk and caused that ground to be tough. All these things Jesus made mention of here cause the heart to become hard. And as a result of that, the word of God does not find the softness of the heart so that it can disguise and bear fruit like verse 15, because the heart has become hardened. So when you go to church with a heart like this, when you are invited to a meeting, or even this one, with a heart like this, you heard the word of God, but nothing is wrong with it. But guess what? One dirty joke erased the word from the heart. That is the way in which the enemy thieved the word, stole the word of God out of your heart. One dirty joke, then what you heard is gone. One pornography, and then what you heard is gone because of the type of traffic that is in the heart. That is how the word is stolen from the heart by the enemy. So nothing is wrong with the word. The word is good. For the four people who attended church, they have heard the same word, but only one soil was ready. And that is soil 15. The rest had different issues. There's another one that soil had a lot of thorns in there that choke the word. The minute the word starts to germinate and grow, the thorns choke that word. And the word eventually become non-effective. There's another one that because of the stone, the different stone of the heart, the rocks, little bits of dirt or soil was available, and the word sprung up. But after a while, the word need depth. The word need soil to sustain it, and it was not there because of the rocks. And how Jesus described this one, because of temptation that comes the way of the young believer. The young believer could not sustain those temptations, and the young believer falls away. The one with the thorns, the young believer received something, but looking at the cares of this life, looking on the temptation here and there, looking at what the world has to offer, and in an attempt to go after it, the young believer lose out eventually. So how do we guard our hearts? How do we guard our hearts here against all these things, all these traffic of the heart, so that the word of God can bear fruit? Psalms 119 verse 11 gives us an idea. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee? How does he hide the word of God? Because he's hiding the word from the enemy. He's hiding the word from the birds. How is that done? By confessing one's sins on a daily basis. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. By meditating upon the word of God, whether you're walking, whether you're driving, whether you are at work, whether you are swimming, regardless, meditate upon the word of God. By memorizing scriptures, that is how we hide the word of God in our hearts. By engaging in constant witnessing, that is how we hide the word of God in our heart. And in so doing, we are plowing up the soil. We are plowing up the soil so that the word will germinate and the word will bear fruit as we go on. I heard one of our sisters tonight, Sister Bennett, testify of how much she enjoyed the word on Sunday. And it is clear that she's rehearsing what she heard in her heart. That is how we hide the word in our heart, so that the robber, the thief, the enemy does not cease to pluck it out. It is below the surface. And below the surface, meaning it is there bearing fruit because it found a soil that it can work with, that has nutrients that will help it to grow and produce fruit for the believer. So I am saying to us tonight that the devil is seeking to rob us of the word of God that he knows, and he declared himself already by saying, if we believe it, we are going to be saved. And he wants to keep us in the dark. He does not want anybody to be saved. He wants all of us to lose out and lost eternally, forever like him. And not only that, he wants to rob us of the word. He wants to rob us of our joy. He wants to rob us of our health. He wants to rob us of our family. He wants to rob us of our position. The enemy is a thief and a robber. I think it was Jesus who said, he cometh to do what? To kill, to steal, and to destroy. He's a destroyer. And we need to know that we must guard ourselves from this dragon. How do we do that? By hiding the word of God in our heart, deep down in our heart, as the psalmist said, that we might not sin against him. But as far as we can see, it takes some effort in order for that to be done. Listen to what Hosea said here. Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. Listen to what he said. Sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Hosea is saying it's time to break up that fallow ground. That ground which is laid there tough because of the tropics that I've just mentioned from March of the 7th. It is time for that tough ground to be plowed. It is time for it to be plowed so that righteousness can produce from it. Righteousness can produce from it as a result of the seed that is going to be sown in there. It will produce righteousness so that the individual will find that the tough ground, the hard surface, the stony ground, which was there all along as a result of the plowing, is now removed, and the seed can find a soft spot, germinate, and bear fruit. It's time to plow up our fallow ground. Yeah. It is time to seek the Lord. It is time to sow mercy. It is time to sow mercy. That mercy can come forth, and our lives will identify with the Lord Himself, the God of righteousness, the God of holiness, the God of all goodness, the God of all peace, because the ground is broken up, whereby the seed can germinate. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My brothers and my sisters, I'm glad, as I said to you tonight, that it is Jesus who tells us about the heart and what the heart is capable of doing. The heart can be changed. The ground can produce fruit as a result of the seed. But it needs to be plowed. Just like verse 15, the ground was plowed and ready to receive the seed that bear fruit. The ground here can be plowed. All that I've just mentioned to you, that Jesus said came out of the heart, can be dismissed. Can be dismissed if we plow that ground so that the seed that the sower is sowing can germinate and bear fruit. I want to say to all of us who are here and have not really committed your life to the Lord, you are struggling. And many times you have tried. Many times you have said to yourself, I am going to try to seek the Lord. I am going to try to serve the Lord. I am going to try to walk with the Lord. Because this life is not working that I'm in. I am going to try something different. Let me say to you, the word of God is being preached. The seed of God is being sown in the different hearts, including yours. What needs to be done is your heart needs to be plowed. All the things that was mentioned in Mark chapter 7 need to erase from your heart, so that the word of God can find a place where it can germinate and bear fruit. It is only the preparation of the soil that makes the difference. The word is the same word in all four areas, but the soil is different. And as a result of the soil needed to be plowed, the enemy stand a chance in coming in and take out that word which was sown. And the unfortunate thing tonight, my brother and my sister, is that sometime out of an act of mercy, out of an act of mercy, God might intervene to do something that the heart might be changed. We're told in Job chapter 33 that there are three things that the Lord might do in order to turn back the individual from the path that the individual is taking. Listen to verse 15 here. Job chapter 33. Verse 15. Verse 15 says, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falling upon men, in slumber upon their bed, God talk to you. God has spoken to your heart. God presents himself to you in a dream, asking you to change, to repent. And by the time you got up, you brushed it off as if nothing happened. Listen to what happened in verse 16. Verse 16 said, then he opened the ear of men and sealed their instruction. Why? That is what we're doing. This is another way in which God speaks to you, by conveying to you his word, that you should change, that you should have a different approach, that you should seek the Lord and be saved. Not only in a dream, not only by the way of hearing God's word, but listen to the last thing, verse 19. He is chastened also with pain upon his bed, and the multitude of his bone with strong pain. Sometimes you find you are not well. Sometimes you find things happen. God is speaking to you. That is the way in which God has chosen to plow the heart, that the heart might be in a place where it can receive the seed for righteousness to grow.
Amen.
Wanted, God spoke not once, but twice here to individuals at different times, that they might change. That they might change. And the reason for all of this, he said here in verse 24, Job chapter 33, verse 24, then he is gracious unto him and said, and said, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. In other words, God don't want us to go down into the pit. So God does all these things that we might be delivered. You can't understand why you're experiencing this pain or this difficulty, sometimes, as the word said here, on your bed. But God is speaking to you. Are you listening? He's showing mercy. He wants you to change, so that the heart, which is tough, the heart which produces all these things in Mark chapter 7 will stop producing those unrighteousness stuff and start to produce righteousness. My brother, my sister, my encouragement to you tonight is that God wants to take you from verse 12 and he wants to place you into verse 15 of St. John chapter 8, or St. Luke chapter 8, where you can bear fruit for him and you can enjoy holiness and you can enjoy righteousness and you can enjoy peace and you can enjoy joy in the Holy Ghost. It's time to break up that fallow ground. It's time to seek the Lord. It's time to repent. And one final verse I would like to share with us tonight. And it is from 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Listen to what it says. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Peter here is saying, look, we were born with corruptible seed. We inherit the corruptible seed from Adam. And as a result of that, it produced what we have read, what Jesus has described in St. Mark chapter 7. That corruptible seed produced those type of fruit. But Peter is saying to us here, there is an uncorruptible seed that caused us to be born again. And as a result of this uncorruptible seed, we are in a place where we can bear fruit of righteousness. Hallelujah! I'm glad to know tonight, in this meeting, there are so many of us can embrace this teaching of Peter here, that we have been born again, not with a corruptible seed, but with an uncorruptible seed, which is the word of God, that allows us to generate holiness, righteousness, peace, and joy. For this last evangelical service for the year, I trust that tonight, you will make that decision to come out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, based on the word of God that is sown into your heart. Father, bless your word tonight, we pray, as we believe it will go to the heart of men. Your target for the word to preach anytime is that it will reach the heart of men and it will change men's life. I trust tonight, Lord, that this word will find a lodging place in the heart of men. Somebody's heart will be changed tonight. Somebody's heart will be plowed tonight, so that the soft spot in the heart will receive this word, that the enemy will not be able to snatch it from them. The bird will not be able to pick it out, because it is disguised within the surface of the heart. I look to you tonight, Lord God, that this will be done, from asking in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the blessed Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Amen. My brother, my sister, you're here, friends, visitors. You're here tonight in this service. I don't believe that you're here just by chance. I believe that you have been summoned here. You have been directed here by the Spirit of the Lord. I don't know where you are, but I believe if you are here, you are directed by the Spirit of the Lord. And deep down in your heart, you have been saying to yourself that you would like to walk with the Lord. The way in which you walk with the Lord is by taking advantage of God's word. Believe and be saved. The enemy said, he's taking out the word out of your heart. Let you believe and be saved. Tonight, our prayer is that you will keep the word of God in your heart so that you will believe and be saved. If you are here tonight with us in this meeting, and you have been thinking about this for quite a while, we are entering into what is called the last month of the year. December is just around the corner. It is going to be Christmas season that speaks to the reason why Jesus came. Can you embrace tonight the reality of why Jesus is here, why Jesus had come, why Jesus died? Can you embrace that thought and say, I would like to start a new life with him by faith. It is by faith tonight that you will receive the word of God. Are you here with us tonight? Can you identify by saying, pray for me that I might not sin against God, that I might hide his word in my heart, that I might receive his word with gladness, and that I might be changed. Are you here? We'd like to pray with you so that tonight can be the beginning of the rest of your life. Can you say, pray for me so that I might start a new life with Jesus? We believe that the word of God is quick and it is powerful and it is sharp. And I believe the Holy Spirit is using that word tonight and is speaking to your heart. Will you respond to the Holy Spirit by identifying and saying, I need prayer to start walking with Jesus? Father, we bless your name again.
Yes,
we bless you, and we say thank you. This is a very serious hour, a very serious moment in the life of somebody. Somebody right now is struggling with the thought as to whether or not they should take the next step with you. But they are also thinking about what their friends might say. They are also thinking about what their community might say. They are also thinking about what their family might say. Father, this is some of the ways in which the enemy chooses to take the word out of the heart of men. God, I pray that you will comfort this person right now who is thinking this way. Comfort this person now, Lord God. Let the word stay in the heart to create the change, I pray. I don't know where this individual is. I don't know where. But God, you know. I pray that you will cause your word to remain in the heart to create that change that is necessary right now. To bring repentance in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. It's not too late. You can still say, pray for me that I might start walking with the Lord.